You want to just get into Matt's Majestic Mind?
Should we do the intro, though?
Oh, frick, I forgot. I have to lose at Rock'em Sock'em Robots every show.
I'm the guy who invented the thing that's gonna take us out of this place. If you could read my mind, you would know what kind of pajamas I want when it comes to bedtime.
We're not missing a day. You're gonna be a plus one of my favorites. That's the intro. Let's get into this. What is this show?
Booty pajamas that let me be what I want to be.
I'm Ian Lund, and welcome to Let Me Pitch This to You. My co-host, Marcus, is over there. Can you explain what the show is?
Hi, I'm Marcus. Knip.
Nerd.
This is Let Me Pitch This to You. It's an idea podcast. Ian said that on an episode once.
Yeah, Ian, that genius that he is.
Yeah, and he's got really great hair too. Ian does.
Marcus,
on the other hand, was a stupid idiot and cut his hair off.
Yeah, it's like he was trying to get a career or something in firefighting. Frick,
yeah, but
that
Ian
guy.
Already got a job.
That idiot. Screw Marcus for real though. Bring Adam. I don't know who Adam is, but bring his comment up. Bring Matt's comment up, please. Read Matt's Majestic Mind. We're going to jump right into it.
Let's get into it. Episode number 7 was a tie. Ian got one vote, and Marcus got one vote.
We can stop that whole bit. I got one vote from Andrew Nutt.
Yeah.
You got Matt's vote.
Yep. And keep in mind, they were ideas sent in by fans.
Yeah, so it's less like I got a vote and that idea got, because like Matt said that, he's like, I don't know how to vote for this.
I voted for this idea because
it was collaborative.
Yeah.
But okay, go ahead. We'll jump into Matt's Majestic Mind and we can talk about that.
Into Matt's Majestic Mind. Okay.
Jump. So, now that we're here. Go
ahead. Matt's Majestic Mind. Whoa, computer. There we go. This is probably your best episode so far. Thank you, Matt.
Crushed it.
I kind of liked it, too.
We've really been phoning it in till here, though.
I really like the collaboration you did on each other's pitches. However, I do want to say, though, he says that, but he also said he didn't know how to vote, so it's like a catch-22. What do you want, Matt? Do you like it or do you not like it? But whatever. There were lots of great ideas flying around, and I think working together on them like this produced better results than some of your original ideas from the earlier episodes. So, I'd agree with Matt there. I like the collaborative thing.
The thing that we're planning on carrying on. So
yeah, maybe every couple episodes, or maybe even every other episode. The space race idea seems pretty good. I haven't seen Hidalgo. Neither have I.
Hidalgo's great.
But I can get behind the idea of this epic competitive quest. I think you've got the right kind of idea on focusing on the individual characters and their interactions, since that's really what will make the show sink or swim. The magic gate idea is really interesting, and your first episode pitch for it reminds me a lot of the classic Star Trek episode, City on the Edge of Forever. Darn it, I was going to watch that episode. I forgot. Okay. The whole idea also got me thinking of the old Ricardo Montalban Fantasy Island show. Which is not as risque as it sounds. Am I saying that right? Risque? Riskew? Whatever.
No, that's riskew. It's definitely riskew. You know that classic word riskew, Ian?
I think there's a ton you could do with that basic idea, especially as a Twilight Zone-esque anthology show. And the two of you really nailed it with the three extremely different story ideas. So I have no idea how to vote for this one. All the best ideas were worked out together, so I guess I'll vote for the idea itself. Give it to the magic gate. And that's Matt's Majestic Mind.
That's Matt's Majestic Mind.
All right.
It's okay. It's not like this is a podcast or anything. Don't worry about talking, Ian.
No, it's a YouTube show, not a podcast.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, shoot. I don't even have my notes up. Go ahead and go first.
Okay, looks like I'm going first. Okay. So here's what I want you guys to picture. Young guy in college, let's say. Some kind of like hipsterish feel. Goes into one of those classic coffee shops, big city vibe. Oh, and also, I want to mention, this whole thing looks... It's an animated film, is what I'm thinking. And think, like, But it looks like Overwatch, like, that kind of, like, whole cartoon, like that style.
Okay.
Goes to this coffee shop, meets a girl, you know, the whole thing. And then we get a very Up-esque montage of these two, these couple, like this couple growing together, and they eventually get married and they fall in love and they never have kids, but like we just see like this really cute montage of like very, just think like Up, but with different characters, you know?
Okay.
And like that whole thing, only about halfway through this one, sorry, instead of kind of them getting older, these giant like robots start to attack the Earth. And you see them start to kind of go to war. Ian, it goes off the rails, okay? And these robots happen, and then they have to start fighting back. And he's kind of like a cowering wimp, and they keep going on, and eventually she doesn't come back one day, and she dies, and he's devastated. And then 10 years passes, and we see our hero. I didn't think I gave him a name ever. But
Joe
he's like,
Black.
No, that's stupid. No. But he's like, he's like jacked now. He has some sick Overwatch style armor, some scars and stuff, and he's just walking around like this huge wasteland, and you kind of get like the feel that this war ended. So whatever war against these robots, like, and think, when I say robots, I want you to think, have you seen the Transformers movies?
Yeah.
And you know, like, the first one when, like, the Allspark or whatever is happening? Is that what it's called? I don't remember. But it makes, like, Decepticons out of any technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts like that at first. Like, the robots that they're fighting kind of start as that. But then by the end of this war, I'm talking, like, skyscraper size. Another specific rim. Specific Pacific Rim, like style, like huge robots. And my notes are dying. He goes inside the head of one of these fallen robots, and there's a bar in there. And we kind of get like this fun banter scene of him talking at this bar and to the other people, and they kind of reminisce about war stories and all that kind of feel and stuff going on. And somebody makes a joke about how Wendell, I did give our hero a name. I gave him the name Wendell because I thought it was funny because it's like it's a nerd-sounding name, but he's super cool now.
I've heard that name somewhere. Wendell.
I don't know. Wendell. I used to do like this weird bit I'm Wendell. Anyway.
There's some cartoon with a character named Wendell.
I think
you're lying. No, it's not a cartoon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, from Malcolm in the Middle. When the dad gets into the speed walking and he finds Arch Nemesis. Wearing all
his
blue.
Name's Wendell?
Yes. I don't know why I remember that. I'm really sorry.
Oh, boy. Some Malcolm in the Middle deep cuts. Wow, this is two episodes in a row. We're making Malcolm Middle jokes. And specific. Okay.
Okay. Carry on, Marcus. Carry on.
So, as we get Wendell, in the process of talking about this, somebody makes a joke about how Wendell believes this rumor that's been floating around, and the rumor is simply the robots came because we invented time travel, went forwards in time, and then these robots came back in time through this thing, and they sent this giant wave that was like that started those robots that just got turned into things, and then eventually they came through this like portal from back in time or from the future, came back here. And that's what started this whole war, and that's what's been going on. And that's just a rumor that's happened. But Wendell, he's like, he chooses to believe that solely because if he finds a time machine, he can get his wife back. I don't have a name for her. So, essentially, this past 10 years, Wendell has been looking for a time machine, fighting the war, and becoming just really cool. Like, he's actually cool and good at fighting and stuff now. And he stays at the bar for a little bit, and we get to meet some fun, interesting characters that I don't have developed or talked about at all. But he leaves, like, late that night, or late after a few nights, and he starts to search for it again. He, you hear from before in the banter, him talking to the bartender, and he tells, he's like, there's only pretty much one place left that the portal could be, but I haven't searched. So I don't know what my game plan is after that, but he's hiding there, and he knows this is like a latch stitch effort. And along the way, he finds this kid kind of like just about to get like wrecked. And it's like a kid, and it's very whatever happens, happens kind of thing, like post-apocalyptic. Nope, there's no law, really.
Yeah.
Kind of going on, and this kid's just going to get, like, kidnapped. And he gets into the skirmish, and he saves this kid's life, and he's like, well, I don't know what to... okay, like, you can come with me, I guess. He's like, I'm not going back there, because I have to do this. I have to find my wife. So they find him, and they keep going, and it turns out that kid was a runaway slave from, like, this guy who's very powerful, like, this warlord. And they kind of get into a few fights and skirmishes with him along the way, and they're on the run now, sort of from him, but also to this destination to find this time machine. And they, again, meet, like, the wacky scientist character. Or they don't, again, but they meet a wacky scientist character who tells him, he's like, no, it's real. I ran the numbers. I figured out. He's like, and even if it's not real, I know how to make a time machine. But he's like, I can't fight. Like, I can't survive in this world, because they find him in this bunker. So they team up with him, and now there's these three people, and they're going, and they find this, like, facility that has just been wrecked, and there's all kinds of robot, like, garbage and stuff around it, and they're like, this could be it, because it's promising. Maybe we had to come shut it off at the source. And they go, and they search for weeks and weeks and weeks. They finally find the time machine. It works. And as he looks around, these people, these group of the people that were on the run with the warlord, they come in and they get into this big firefight. And him and the scientists are talking, and he's like, well, it doesn't matter. If you open the portal and I go through and I fix this, I go back in time and I fix everything, then we win. Like, oh, this won't matter. It doesn't matter if you die. It doesn't matter if the kid dies. It doesn't matter what happened, because I fixed it. So he runs and jumps in the portal, and he goes to the people who were planning on building this time machine, and he convinces them with all of his futuristic, tight, cool armor that he has this. And he tells them, like, you can't make this. Like, it can't exist. And they're like, okay, cool, got it. And then he goes back to the past. And you know what he sees again?
They made it anyways.
He sees the kid get shot and killed. And then the scientist and him are grabbed and kidnapped. And the scientist is like, oh, I see. You just made a new universe. You made it better for somebody else. For a different version of you and a different version of me. The time machine never existed. You stopped it. Okay. But that doesn't affect this reality. This reality still sucks. And then they get drug off into slavery by this warlord. And that's the end of it. Roll credits. It's called a big waste of time. That's my pitch.
I feel like the time machine, the time traveling aspect kind of reminds me of The Flash, how like it creates multiple timelines. Is that what you're saying it would do?
Well, yes, like, but instead of I got this idea cuz there's a Fantastic Four story. I don't remember what it's called, but essentially the whole pathos for the Thing and stuff is that he doesn't like being the rock monster. So he breaks into Latveria, which is where Dr. Doom lives, and takes his time machine and goes back in time and stops Ben Grimm from getting on the spaceship that gave the Fantastic Four their powers. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he's still a rock monster. He's like, I don't get it. And he talks to Reed about it, and Reed's like, well, like, you did go back in time and you did stop it. It was like, but you made a new timeline where that exists, and that doesn't affect our timeline. That doesn't change anything here. You just made a new timeline, so in a parallel universe, you stopped that Ben Grimm from going on the space travel. However, you still went on it.
Yeah. See, that makes sense. I kind of like the idea of that, because then it's like, you're not undoing what you already did. Once you do something, it's done.
Yeah, it's done. And like, yeah. So he made life better for a different Winston and Winston's wife. They still survived, and they had a great life. However, this Winston that we've been following does get captured and put into slavery by a warlord, and does watch this kid die, and does still live in a crappy universe.
So now, is this a TV show or a video game?
It's a movie.
Because it sounds like it'd be a video game, honestly. Like, just the way I was picturing it.
It could be.
It sounds like...
Maybe it's because like I used the words like Overwatch.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's my idea.
Cool. I don't really have any other questions.
We can talk about it.
I thought it was good. So, like, would the scientist or the kid have any special fighting abilities or anything? Or are they just kind of cowering behind Wendell as he fights?
The scientist, he's smart. So, like, if you think about this, like, this world that's like this, but also so technologically advanced because of these robots and stuff. He'll be kind of upgrading Winston's weapons and stuff as they go along. And this kid, I'm thinking we can do clever things like he's more agile. He's not bogged down by this ridiculous armor and stuff.
Okay.
So he can go and like slip into places, and he's sneaky and crafty and kind of things like that.
Okay.
Round up the team a little bit.
Cool. That's all the other stuff I had. I mean, I feel like we should collaborate a little bit more, but I don't really have anything to add.
You can change whole ideas, Ian.
I don't think his name should be Wendell. I think it should be... I can't think of anything better, so... No, no, Wendell's fine. Yeah, that's all I have.
Don't worry, I'll change the mess out of your story.
All right, well, I gotta grab my notes, so let's take a commercial break.
Please, come on, guys. I just want some money. I'm so hungry. Like, so freaking hungry. And back to the show.
No, wait. My notes aren't up yet.
Oh, guys, come on, please. Money. Please. I just want a dollar or maybe two. Are your notes up, Ian? What the frick? Gosh. Money. So I can have power and real estate and cool stuff and afford to get married and have a good life for Ashley and not have to get a real grown-up job and podcast for forever. And holy crap, this is taking you so long, Ian.
Why didn't it send me my notes? I tried to pull it up here on my computer.
Nye.
I can try and read it off my phone.
Star.
Fine, okay. I'll just
commercial
read
break's
off my
over.
Phone.
Ian, what's up?
What's Sorry. Your pitch? I think this will work. It's just kind of... Okay.
Okay, cool.
It just feels kind of awkward reading it off my phone. Whatever, okay. So... You know what? I hope you didn't read what it is. Okay.
No,
I'm not going to tell you what this is.
I've not seen anything about your story. I have no clue, honestly.
Okay. So this is taking a story that's been around for quite a while. It's always been animated. Making it into real people. And so imagine four teenagers. Two of them. Well, just four teenagers.
Oh, Dunk, is this going to be Scooby-Doo?
Nailed it. No.
Oh, frick.
No. Teenagers are... Yeah. Ah, I can't talk. Scooby-Doo had four
frick,
real people. It had real people.
I was about to say there's five people in Scooby-Doo, but I was counting Scooby.
Four plus Scooby.
Scooby's not a boy. He's not a real boy. He's a dog.
I want to be a real boy.
Get up, Pinocchio. This is freaking Scooby-Doo. What are you doing here?
So imagine four teenage kids who, while wandering in a forest behind their neighborhood, they stumble across a green, tube-shaped... tunnel coming straight up out of the ground. The kids run up and they're inspecting it and debating what to do. One kid who is goofing off accidentally falls in, of course, and he's a little
Idiot.
Bit younger of a kid. His older sister, who's like 16 or so, freaks out. And these teenagers, they're about high school age or whatever, and they're all kind of like this girl, I'd say she's kind of more kind of like the athletic jock type or whatever. So she wasn't like whining or whatever that her brother felt like, you know, like, oh, someone go save him. She jumped in after him and,
then dies.
She dives down to the tunnel to save her brother. Immediately one of the other guys who's a year or two older, like a senior or something, and probably has kind of a thing for this girl or something.
I'm trying to guess what this is based on because I have no freaking clue what you're talking about. Go ahead. Keep going.
This is all my idea here, and then it'll get into what it's based off.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Okay, so this dude who's like a senior or so and has the hots for this chick jumps in after, and he's kind of dumb too.
Okay,
he's
cool.
He's kind of like a dumb jock or whatever, jumps in, is like, you know, I'll save you or whatever. Anyway, and so all three of them jump down this.
You said there are four people?
Yes, all three.
So three of them jump, one falls.
Three, yeah.
Okay.
Two, no. Two of them jump and one fall. There's three people that went down the tunnel.
Okay, so there's one more person up there, and he's like, screw this, and goes home.
Almost. Frick,
you jumping
almost.
Down a hole? Idiot.
One more kid, and he's probably, like, maybe 15. He's about the same age as the younger kid that fell in. Super nerdy and dorky. And I don't mean, like, on this stupid sitcoms where, like...
Like that?
Where the teenage kid is, like, supposed to be nerdy, but it's actually, like... Has really great hair and all that. And
is this Boy Meets World?
No.
Frick.
No, he's legit a geek. And like...
Just like an actual nerd, like real life, like
yeah.
me and you.
Anyway, so...
Is it going to be me and you? Ian, is this us?
Not quite.
Frick. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to know.
So this super dorky kid, who's best friends with the boy that fell in, he looks around and... instead of jumping in a tunnel, he just kind of wanders through the forest a little bit. And he sees a tree that looks a little unusual, and he looks up. And when he looks up, instead of seeing leaves and branches, he sees a mushroom at the top. A big mushroom with polka dots.
Ian, let's keep it PG, okay? We can't do hard drugs.
No, he doesn't get high off the mushroom. And then there's a little door at the base of the tree trunk. He opens the door.
Is this Alice in Wonderland?
No, he opens the door hesitantly and then steps through. And now we're going to jump back to the other three who jumped in, the idiots, as I call
Frick,
them.
Frick, it's Mario!
You nailed it.
Yes!
Oh, man, okay. I thought the green tube would give it away. Okay, so
no,
they
I
all
mean,
land
I'm sure,
on a...
I'm sure everybody listening to this is like, oh, Mario, for sure.
They
idiot.
All land on a green pasture with a beautiful-looking castle on the side of the, on one side of the horizon and a horrible, decrepit-looking ghost house or castle on the other side of the horizon. They, of course, go to the beautiful-looking castle. They come to a gate, and it is locked, and nobody's around.
They gotta catch a frickin' bunny.
And in fact, the whole front courtyard and surrounding village appeared to be abandoned. It looked like the remains of a huge party, but now nothing, but now nobody's around, and it's all trashed, old food everywhere, whatever. They heard footsteps as they walked through the village, and then suddenly a door slammed shut. They heard to find it, but couldn't. Okay, that was them walking through the village. I didn't realize what I was reading there. I'm sorry. They're walking through the village, and like, they hear a door slam or whatever. And so clearly, I guess the point there of what I wrote was like, everybody in the village is kind of scattered and in hiding, if that makes sense. Like as if something came through and like just...
Like real life humans.
Yeah. And, and so, jumping back to the dorky smart kid, after he stepped through the door, he found himself, struck to the ground, and with a ball of fiery light shining in front and above his face. I was kind of picturing the Apostle Paul from the Bible when he's... I know that's kind of weird, but I was picturing like this big light source or whatever, and like he's down
you.
On the ground. And a loud, thunderous voice, you know, shouting, you know, what are you doing here?
It's me, Mario.
And looking unfrightened, though, because the kid's actually kind of tough. Or whatever.
Because the kid's just like, frick, I know what this is. Come at me, plumber boy.
He pushed his glasses up. I have that written down. He got up and demanded
actually?
He be taken to his friends. He knew that this guy must know about the green tube. Immediately, the light went away, and in not just a normal voice, but a timid little squeaky voice, a red polka-dotted, mushroom-headed type of person says, sure thing. But first, you'll need this. He leads him over to a chest-like box with a question mark symbol flashing on all sides. The mushroom-headed guy tells the kid to close his eyes, reach in, and grab out a goodie. The kid, trying to be smart, opens the chest and looks inside. He sees nothing but packing peanuts and rummages through the box, only to find nothing. He slams the box shut and says, come on, man. What gives? You just... No, just take me to my friends, he said in an irritated voice. The mushroom creature shook his head and sighed. He said... with a Yoda-type voice here. You looked with your eyes open. You must look with your heart and search with your mind. So it's supposed right. to be like, you know how like the question, you never know what's in the question mark box. You know, you can't look. So that's the idea. The kid looked inside it. It's supposed to be as much like the game as possible.
That question, Ian, can the nerd kid be like, oh no, I can read. It's Mario. So the whole time he calls him Mario and not Mario, and everybody else is like, oh, it's Mario, but it's Mario, you idiots.
We could do that. Yeah, cool. I like that. Okay. So the kid, partially annoyed, closes his eyes, opened the chest again. As he reached his hand down in the packing peanuts, he grabbed what felt somewhat squishy. He pulled it out and looked at it. It looked like a sort of stress ball that was shaped identical to the head of a mushroom. Yeah, so like
Ian, PG, PG.
Not drugs, the mushroom thing that makes Mario grow.
Ooh, dude, what if we do a twist? And the whole time, this plumber's just on mad hallucinogenic trips from eating mushrooms.
You can do that. Like, at the very end, a guy wakes up.
He wakes up, and it's just like a mushroom. It's a fat plumber. And be like, frick, what did I eat? And we retcon all of Mario.
Yes, yes.
Frick, okay, cool.
That sounds good. I like the input. Anyway, so he looked at it peculiarly and asked what it was and what it did and how it would help. The mushroom man answered and told him that everyone who reached in the mysterious box finds something different, and it's always something that they were not wanting. Kind of as a little joke, as you know, it's never what you want when you're playing the game.
That's for dang sure.
Only very rarely would one pull out a prize that he or she actually was hoping for.
And those are for the speedrunners who know what's in every box.
Yeah, he went on to say that there have been many tries, many different... Okay, he talks about that for a while. I'll be able to skip that. Suddenly, the kid vanished and appeared at the gate among his companions. By this time, a gatekeeper was making his way down from the castle while sincerely apologizing for not being there sooner. The great mistress of the castle, which would be Peach, had been abducted by the overlord of the Far Lands, which would be Bowser. I just gave him different names because technically I don't have the rights to Mario. Just on the other side of the horizon. He said that he couldn't let them come through the castle because they were outsiders. But if they wanted to prove their worth, they could go save the mistress in the overlord's castle and return her safely back home. It would be a dangerous journey, and even though it didn't look very far, there were many planes of various obstacles to get past, including watchtowers and castles belonging to the overlord's henchmen.
Can the nerd kid figure it out?
Figure what out?
Like, oh, we're in Mario.
He probably does. That's probably and why he doesn't go down the green tube.
This is Mario. So he's like wicked good at it. Yeah. He's like, oh, okay, like we gotta be careful. Hey, this space, I know this space looks like we're gonna fall down and die. It's only one block thick. We can run over that. Trust me, we can run over that. Or, okay, see this jump? It looks impossible. We jump off of that turtle guy right there at the right time. We'll get a bonus jump.
Yeah.
Do some stunts.
Yeah, and I was going to have each one of them, like, since there was four of them, one represent, you know, in the old Mario, the number two one, there was, you could play as Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, or one of the mushroom heads. I was going to have them, all four of them represent, like, they all get costumes or something, and they turn, but maybe they should, like, run into Mario at different points in the game. I haven't quite decided that. Because originally, I actually wanted it to make fun of the racist aspects of Mario that people joke about, and each one of them be, like, represent, but anyway.
Wait, Mario's racist? What?
Well, it's something about, there was, now I don't remember what it was. It was something about, like, because he speaks Italian, but then he's white, jumps like a black man, whatever, you know.
Oh, so you're being racist.
It was some joke thing that someone said. Anyway,
well, now we're going to get flagged for racism on YouTube.
So, anyway,
Is it just about them going and saving the princess?
Yeah. So it's basically like the game of Mario, but
But told through the lens of these four regular boys.
Yeah, like as if it was real people. Yeah. That's pretty much all I have.
That sounds very good to me. I like it.
Like, I feel like it's been done before, but I've never actually seen it, or at least done well. The closest thing I did see was a while back, there was a YouTube video of, like, it was the Mario game, and then he fell, and then what happened to him after he fell, and it was like a real person, Mario, and he was being chased by zombies or whatever. Anyway, whatever. That was the closest thing I've ever seen to it, and that's not even, but like a real person rendition of Mario.
Yeah, and what do you like
a movie?
And like this, I like the idea of like this nerd kid, especially just being like, Oh, frick. I know where we... What the... Oh, this is Mario. I know what to do. This is Mario. Yeah.
And I like the idea of, like they could call it Mario, but he's like, no, it's Mario, but they all think he's stupid for pronouncing
but it. Like, no, yeah. It's Mario. Mario. You idiot. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Especially because, like, the teenage kid, the older boy is supposed to be kind of like a dumb jock or whatever. Anyway, I just, yeah.
And he has two other brothers, and he's part of triplets, and it's Brick, Brock, and Brook. And they all call him, they always mess up his name.
Yeah.
Brick, it's Brock, idiot, guys, come on. Hey, Brock. Dude, what the heck is Brock? But every single time, he can also say a different one back. So be like, hey, Brick. You know, dude, I'm Brock. Okay? Hey, Brock. Dude, I'm Brick. What are you talking about? And it's
so,
never
okay,
right.
So here's the thing. He doesn't actually have twin brothers. No, he has triple personalities. Multiple personalities.
He's too dumb. He doesn't know his own name. He's like, I'm one of them. Frick. I don't even know anymore. We all look so much alike. We really need that Harry Potter like Weasley thing where we get the oh no initials we can't have the first initial thing.
Anyway, that's all.
I'm sorry.
That was good. That's all I have for mine.
Want to do some housekeeping things then?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Tim Schoenfeld, not Matt Schoenfeld. Thank you, Tim Schoenfeld, for our song, Toadie Pajamas.
Yep. Thank you for the theme song. Thanks to Matt for the input on the show. Thanks to everyone for voting. Keep voting. Keep sending in your ideas. Thanks for all the ideas. We're getting some pretty cool ones.
That was a fun idea. We're also toying around with a different idea of where me and Ian throw things that we're very big fans of in a hat. And then we both draw, like I'll draw two and he'll draw two. And we'll do that at the end of a podcast. And then the next week we have to use those two things we drew to come up with a pitch that's inspired and has elements of both those things. So that could be fun. That might happen in the next few weeks. Yeah. Well, I guess not really, because Ian's leaving.
Yeah, oh, so that brings up another point. Here's the next two episodes.
We'll have a co-host. Or we'll have a guest host.
I have a grown-up job. And we'll have a guest host. Hopefully it'll be Matt Sampson.
One of them will be Matt.
Of, yeah.
For sure.
Since he's been following the show the most. And yeah, otherwise you'll have to talk to Marcus. If you have any input or whatever, you think you'd be good on the show, you can send an email.
Oh yeah.
Marcus.
If you want to fight for this, if you guys like want to try really hard, especially if you offer money.
Yeah. Yeah. Send in a pitch or whatever.
If you give us any money, you'll probably get it because nobody's given us money yet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say also, you know, we were joking about giving us money, but the best thing you could do is just advertise the show, tell it to your friends, talk about it. Share it on your Facebook. Seriously. Yeah, like we share it from YouTube on our Facebook channel, and if you follow us you can share it.
But
on
don't
yours.
Do it like a joke. Because apparently this person thought I was joking all the time about here's how I look at work. I look at work as you five other people are stuck with me for 3 hours. You better believe I'm gonna promote the crap out of my podcast. And finally the other day somebody's like, wait, for real? You actually have one? I was like, yeah, I talk about it all the time, trying to get you people to listen to it, because you're stuck with me. And she's like, oh, that's cool, I might check it out. And I was like, so don't do it as a joke. Like, yeah. make sure people know you're serious. Like, oh, yeah, there's a podcast I listen to with these people that I know who are really cool. And there's one really attractive one and one massive nerd, and we're not going to tell you which.
No.
Figure it out.
We're not going to tell you which.
Okay, go ahead.
Just know it's the one who doesn't do this on
Thank you to Whack Matters for sponsoring our show on iTunes.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess like you can rate us on iTunes, and that's good. That'll help us eventually get sponsorships.
Yeah.
I think
if you own a small business and you want like an advertisement, honestly, we'd probably do it for pretty cheap or very, very little.
Or free.
Yeah. I was gonna say free, but I didn't want to.
I was gonna say free, but then I realized that defeats the purpose of advertising.
Yes. Thank you to the internet for us being able to do our show. I don't know who invented the internet.
Thank you to Ian's parents for letting us have a set up in his house.
Yes. Although we need to find a place that like we could like have it permanently. Because we're constantly moving stuff around.
Here's the thing.
If you have an office space that you're willing to lend us for very little money.
For $0. for the low, low price of $0 and
I'd give him
25 cents. I'm not going to pay money. I mean, I might. Here's the thing, though. If we just hold on for a few more months, me and Ashley are most likely going to get house in Council Bluffs.
Okay.
And
in a few months, okay.
And I'll push to figure out something like that. So.
All right.
Also, you can find me at Instagram and I'm going to say Instagram and Facebook at Afrothunda. You can find me on Instagram at Afrothunda. And if you want to, it's not that. Why do you got to freaking give out my email every show?
Just send Mark a spam email.
I'll quit the show. Not only I'll quit the show and I'll break Ian's throat to where he can't say words for the rest of his life.
I'd be okay with that because I prefer to write and not talk. So.
All right, Ian. Oh, and you have to email us to vote.
Yeah, don't forget to email it. letmepitchthistoyou@gmail.com. We should have said that first so you didn't have to listen to all the other crap. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at static with a K reverb. I know that's a dumb name. If you have a better name for me, send it in. I'm very bad at coming up with names.
Afro Thunder, try that.
No, that's yours. Besides.
It's pretty good, though.
Well, anyway. All right. That was a very long outro. I guess we can close it out, though.
When others are trapped in their beds, that's when I'm free. Thanks to booty pajamas. Booty pajamas. Booty pajamas.